Let me encourage you to turn your Bibles to Daniel, the first chapter. Daniel chapter 1. It's going to be our main text this morning. We'll spend the bulk of our time there. We are certainly grateful to see so many returning faces, so many new faces. Whatever the reason for you being here this morning, we are glad that you are here. We're glad that you are here to worship our God with us, to remember the sacrifice of our Lord, to petition our Lord in prayer, and to spend a little bit of time studying His Word together this morning. I invite you to return this evening at 5 o'clock. Nathan, who so ably led us this morning, and his father, Dane, are going to be leading our service and song tonight. We hope you can come back and praise our Lord with us at that time again, 5 o'clock this evening. As is already mentioned by J.D. at the beginning of our service this morning, this is a very exciting day for university. We always enjoy having the college students return, new faces again. So exciting for us, and we look forward to what we can do together throughout the coming year. But there are others who they are going through different emotions this morning. That yes, it may be a time of excitement, but it's also a time of concern and anxiety. For their boys and girls are either here at school or have gone other places to school. And there are concerns. Even in a spiritual environment that some will be fortunate enough to attend, there are concerns about, well, what are my kids going to learn? And not only when they're at college, but after that, how are they going to be affected by the humanistic culture of our day? What kind of friends are they going to make? Are they going to be associates who help them become what God wants them to become? Are they going to stay away from alcohol, which we know is a plague on so many campuses across the nation? Are they going to stay sexually pure? Are they going to worship with God's people? Are they going to be faithful in attending and growing? These are concerns. And so some of the parents are thinking, you know, I wasn't really thinking about that. Thanks, preacher. I really enjoyed that this morning. I'm really edified. We're going to talk about a man, young man, who went away, you might say, to school this morning. I'm going to confess to you, some here at university remember, this is not the first time I've preached this lesson here, and it's certainly not a lesson original to me. I attended the University of Alabama. We were number one, but not that way. We were terrible in football while I was there. But we were the number one party school in the nation. Thankfully, I think we have given that title to other schools. You can go Gators, I guess, if you want to for that one, but I don't think I would. That's what we were number one in. And so it was a very different environment while I was at school than I certainly was used to from a small town. So my local congregation, the church where I worshiped, that was my spiritual lifeline. And I still remember a lesson that Brother Sewell Hall came and gave to us while I was in school there. And the title of that lesson was simply, Daniel Goes to School. And I believe, actually, if you went on the Embry Hills website, you could find where Brother Hall preached that lesson at Embry Hills and listen to it. I would certainly recommend it. It had a great impression on me then. And I want to, in some way, impart some of those same lessons today. Daniel went to the university or the college of Nebuchadnezzar. 605 BC, Babylon was clearly undefeated, would remain so for some time. But of course, we understand from the text of Daniel chapter 1 that Daniel didn't simply go off to school. But there are some parallels that we can see from Daniel chapter 1 and to what our young people, and not only those who are in college, but also those in middle, high school, those who are after college and moving on in their lives. Some parallels, some principles that were true of Daniel and are true today. Let's go ahead and read in Daniel chapter 1. Let's just go ahead and read the first five verses together. Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had the ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Those verses tell us about the environment that Daniel faced in Babylon. And again, there are some parallels that we might see for so many of our youth today. What do we read? What do we understand about Daniel's environment? Well, first, we know Daniel is young. We are not given an exact age, but he is a young man. He is one of the youths that was taken from Judah. And he is in a foreign environment. It may have been that Daniel was one of the nobles of Israel. But even then, if he grew up in a palace in Jerusalem, going to Babylon would have been a radically different environment than what he was used to. Not only that, Daniel is going to a culture that is antagonistic to God. The first two verses we saw that there was this conflict between Babylon and Judah. Nebuchadnezzar besieges Jerusalem. He makes Jehoiakim his vassal. But then what does he do? He takes articles from God's temple and takes it into the house of his God. Therefore, representing that his God, Nebuchadnezzar's God, was more powerful than the Lord God. And that's what it would have looked like to all the world at that time. That Jehovah God, God of Israel, had fallen to the God of the Babylonians. And that's where Daniel has gone. He has gone to an environment that declares, our God is greater than your God. He had a curriculum that would have contradicted God's word. We read there in verse 4 that he was to be taught the literature and language of the Chaldeans. Now, the Chaldeans, They would have known so much about mathematics at that time, different scientific formulas and processes, but they would have also been telling Daniel about their gods, about astrology. They'd have been telling Daniel about how to interpret dreams and different omens, all kinds of things that would have been contrary to the will of God. In fact, God had said back in the law in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 12, that there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. But it was some of those very same things that Daniel would have been taught. Here is how you predict the future. Here is how you look at the stars and foretell what's going to happen. And not only that, whereas Daniel would have heard, as we are so concerned with our kids, they're going to be told things about God and what God did not do. No, you can't believe that God created the heavens and the earth. Well, Daniel would have been told the same thing. Your God did not create all things. Your God is not the most powerful. Daniel would have heard that over and over again. And of course, in this environment, Daniel was encouraged to violate his conscience. Set before him every day, and we are not given the specifics of what the food and the drink were, but from the king's table, the choice food from the king's table and the wine from the king's table, set before Daniel every day. things which Daniel understood, I, as a servant of the Lord, I should not partake of. Will you do it? Is the question that Daniel was faced with every day. Again, you're not dropping your kids off at Babylon. But you certainly see, not only while they're in school, but in the years that follow, here's what they face. They're in a foreign environment. They're in a culture antagonistic to God. They are taught many things that would violate and contradict the very will of God. And every day, they are going to be encouraged in some way in this world to violate the things they know they should do, to be unfaithful to God and to violate His will. So how did Daniel survive this? Well, again, in the first couple of chapters of Daniel, we see some principles that are true there, and principles that will certainly be true for all of us as well. Daniel will face some real trials. And we'll not take time to go through those trials as found in the book of Daniel, but you know Daniel faced real trials and very quickly in his life in Babylon. Daniel could have blamed God. When you read the text of Daniel, and we already read there in verse 2, notice what the text says in verse 2. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into Nebuchadnezzar's hand. Think of that. Daniel, who maintains his faith in Jehovah God, who does not believe that the Babylonians are stronger than Jehovah God, while he is in Babylon, must have come to the realization that I am only here because my God allowed it. And that's what the text of Daniel begins with. The Lord gave Judah into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel is in Babylon facing these trials because the Lord gave Daniel into their hands. But that's not the only time you read in Daniel chapter 1 that the Lord gave. Skipping down further, in verse 9, after we read about Daniel's conviction in verse 8, which we'll come back to in just a minute, it says in verse 9 that God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And then further down in the text, in verse 17, speaking of Daniel and his three friends, as for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. What's that? Yes, God had given Daniel into the Babylonian king's hands, but God had also given Daniel everything he needed to stand up and face the trials which now faced him. God gave him favor. God gave him wisdom and knowledge and understanding. God gave Daniel everything he needed to survive. No one can tell what trials any of us are going to face in the future. No one can tell what the trial is that your child is going to face while he's away at school. But those trials are going to come. They are assuredly going to come. James chapter 1. James reminds us that these trials are coming. And he says we ought to look at those things in some way as a blessing. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Again, in verses 12 and 13, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. What all is James saying here? Well, he's talking about a lot, but we can see some clear principles here. No, when I am tested, when I am tempted to do wrong, that is not God. But I am certainly going to be tested. I am certainly going to face trials. And those things can have positive and good results in my life. I don't think it's by coincidence either that when you come to verse 17, and this is a verse which we use to apply to so many things about God, but it's followed very closely in this idea of us being tested and enduring trials. And it says in verse 17 that every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. We're going to be tested, James says. We need to endure those times of trial. And when we endure those times of trial, it's going to produce all these wonderful benefits in us. Well, how is it we're going to endure? We have a God. We have a Father who gives every good gift. And that certainly would include the strength and the ability to stand, that we do not have to succumb to the trials. Daniel did not blame God for the things that happened to him. But he certainly relied on God. Daniel, the second chapter. After Nebuchadnezzar has had his dream, and he has commanded his fortune tellers, his sorcerers, to not only tell him the interpretation of the dream, but to tell him the dream itself. And when they are unable, Nebuchadnezzar commands that all of his wise men are to be executed. And that would have included Daniel and his friends as well. What does Daniel do? We read in Daniel chapter 2, in verses 17 and 18. Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, about the matter, so they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Here is the reliance that Daniel showed upon his God. Daniel remembered the true source of wisdom. So already mentioned, Daniel would have been instructed in all the ways of the Babylonians, including the ways which would have been contrary to the will of God. But as we've already read, beginning in verse 17 of chapter 1, that Daniel not only learned these things, he excelled in these things. He was found to be wiser than all the rest. And we read there that God gave him the understanding of visions and dreams. Daniel's not going to have to rely on the evil practices of the Babylonians. Daniel knows all these things. But he has excelled in all of these things. But Daniel never forgets where the wisdom comes. Back in the second chapter, after he and his friends pray, Daniel has the mystery revealed to him at night. And Daniel responds in verses 20 through 23, saying, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to Him. It is He who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is He who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter." Here is Daniel, who is instructed in all these things, and yet he never forgets, "My wisdom comes from God." You are going to learn throughout your life so many things. Again, some of you are attending an institution that has a spiritual basis to it. But even then, there's the absolute necessity of discernment. To be able to discern what is true, what is the will of God, what is the wisdom of God, and what is not. Again, this is one thing that terrifies your parents. That you can learn so many things that are given to you as fact, and yet they are not true. I want to encourage you, though. Learn all you can. Don't shy away from the sciences. Don't shy away from those things that in so much of the world's opinion, in some way, disvalues the very notion of there being a God. Come to know these things, but know them with discernment. Be able to discern what is true, what is right, and what is false. And I would say that includes all the things that you will learn. Do not believe what I say to you because who I am. Do not believe what your professors say to you because of who they are, what degrees they have. But rather, how does this match up to the will and the word of God? Daniel knew that wisdom came from God. And so he would always seek out that wisdom. Daniel looked for godly companions. Now, we understand from chapter 1, verses 6 and following, his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we just kind of had this idea in our story. Okay, well, Daniel's there. He's got three good buddies and everything's fine. Well, think of it in this way, though. Daniel was with the nobles of Judah. He's with their sons. It was the nobles of Judah that were the problem. When God is bringing His justice on Judah, so much of it was because of the leaders of Judah and the way in which they had forsaken the ways of God. Daniel is at school with their sons. And I have no doubt that many of them had no problem when the king said, okay, here's the food you're supposed to eat. Here's the drink you're supposed to drink. Have at it. I have no doubt that many of those nobles' sons just went right along with it. But Daniel found three. He found three that had the same disposition as he was. He found three that were serious about their commitment to God. Find you those three. Those who are here today, you're blessed. You're in an environment right here this morning where you can find others who are serious. And I mean find that. Find those who are serious about their commitment to God. But let me encourage you here, and I know Brother Matthews will say something about this at the end. We're not only talking about find you three or find you a few companions that are of your age. Those are beneficial and you need that. But you need a family as well. You need a spiritual family with those who are older than you who can encourage you. Those who are younger than you that you can encourage. So as I told the students this morning, you don't have to place membership at university. You don't have to. There are all kinds of good congregations in the Tampa area. You need to be a part of a family. You need to find companions, young and old, who are serious about doing God's will, and you need to join yourself to them. Daniel found companions that were serious about following God. But of course, all this is not if Daniel had not made up his own mind. Verse 8. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. All these other things, the word of God that he has given to us and the wisdom that he provides, the godly companions that he has put in your life, they mean nothing if you have not first made up your own mind, I am going to follow God. It does not matter what the trial is, what this period of testing is, what the temptation is that's been set before me. I am making up my mind. I am following my God. Some of you, your parents are about to leave. You're going to be on your own for the first time. They've been helping make up your mind. They've been preparing you for this moment when you have to make up your own mind. So make it up now. I am not going to defile myself with the things of this world and the temptations that Satan is going to bring my way. Daniel made up his mind. And I beg of you, do that right now. Daniel not only survived, he absolutely thrived. Throughout the book of Daniel, you see that to be true. He excelled in understanding. God had given him wisdom and knowledge at the end of chapter 2 because of his ability to tell Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was and the interpretation of that dream. He is exalted in that kingdom. He is going to be exalted in the kingdom when the Persians come to power. Throughout, Daniel excels. But he doesn't just excel in the way that the world would look at success. The world would have looked at Daniel and said, wow, how intelligent he is. And look at the station he has achieved. Daniel excelled because we talk about him. Daniel excelled because we look at him as an example of faith. Of one who followed his God in some very, very difficult times. Daniel went away. He left everything he knew behind. Traveled 1,000 miles. And would stay away, as far as we know, for the rest of his life. But even though Daniel had gone away, he knew his God was there with him. And so, as is true throughout the Bible, God is the hero of Daniel's story. And how blessed we are that wherever we are, our God is there too. And He remains the hero of our story. It may be that there is one here this morning who you've not yet committed yourself to following God. Make up your mind. Make up your mind today. I'm following Him. Have that resolve. Understand that your God can give to you and do for you what no one else can. Even though it may look like in our world that God is somehow less than or defeated as it would have looked in Daniel's world, that's not true. Our God is still Lord. And He has offered you salvation. He has offered you to be a part of His family. So resolve today to be a part of His family. Believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Repent of your wrongs. Be baptized to have your sins forgiven. If we can aid you, we invite you to come this morning as we stand and as we sing. Zion's call sweetly rings over the